All right, how y'all doing? I'm doing all right. Just so I don't forget to tell you, just to let you know, Debbie's mother passed away Wednesday night. And so they'll be going up to the funeral tomorrow in some part of Tennessee. Way up there, sounds like. So just be praying for them. She wasn't really, really sick. Something to do with her liver enzymes and stuff. All of a sudden, she fell, and then just everything was out of whack. So just be praying for her. And Meredith, they'll be traveling tomorrow. So just remember them. And it's good to see y'all. Y'all doing okay? If you haven't signed up to work for VBS, we're running out of time, okay? We need to know. If you're going to help us, we just need to know that. That would help us a lot. So whatever I can do to make you feel guilty to help us, I'll do that. I've already asked, any of y'all got a little toy train about this high that we can borrow? That looks like a real train? Anybody know where one is? I need one, so I won't have to build it. Anyone? No one? Hello? No. Okay, well, I'm on my own then, huh? Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for a place that's dry that we can meet. Thank you for our food. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for your mercy. We ask that you truly would just speak to us through your word today. Help us understand how we're responsible for the way we live. And there are consequences in both ways for that. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bobby's here today. He's been resurrected. I told him, and he agreed a couple times there. He looked like he was on death's door there. So thank the Lord for that. Keep praying. There's still people we can't mention their name that are in our church family that are seriously sick with cancer and are fighting it. So just keep praying. On the days you feel good and you want to gripe about something, pray for some of these people that are not as blessed as you are. That are fighting this stuff because it is it's just difficult. You know, that is what sin does. You know people die because of sin, right? The first person that died because of the effects of sin. Not just because you sin, that sin kills you. No, death is a result of sin. When I say that, you understand what I mean, right? We wouldn't have any of this nonsense if Eve and Adam would have behaved themselves. That's right. You know? Just like us. Most of our nonsense in our lives, a lot of it, who brings it on ourselves? We do, because I am in control, right? I'm number one. I want my way. Anyway, that's not our sermon today. But it's part of it, all right? This is a long one. We're not going to get finished. It might take 3 weeks. We'll come back after Father's Day and try to finish up 14th chapter of Revelation because I'm going to give you a synopsis, okay? Basically, what's going on here in chapter 14 is this. This thing is coming to an end. You better get your mess together. You know what I mean by that? Judgment is coming. You better get your stuff together. Because what he says is this, you already know the gospel. It's already been proclaimed in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And now the angel is coming and he's talking to the whole world. And he says, you already know this. You better do something because this thing's coming to an end. That's the synopsis of what this is about. Unfortunately, this is a dark chapter in the book of Revelation because it's talking about judgment. You know, and it's so strange in our country today and in Christendom that nobody wants to talk about judgment because God is love and he's not going to judge anybody and everybody's all right. But this chapter says, no, that's not the way it is. There is judgment coming. You remember that, y'all remember that story by Jerry Clower, the philosopher? Y'all know who that is? Do y'all remember Jerry Clower said they caught their neighbor Kurt running and screaming and he said he had... he was just running through the countryside screaming. And he said he'd run over at the faucet that he had driven in the ground to make people think he had running water, even though he didn't. And he was just screaming, and he was screaming, "Judgment's coming! Judgment's coming!" And they finally caught him and overtook him and said, "Kurt, what's going on, man?" He said, "Judgment's coming." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Judgment's coming. God done wrote that up there in the sky." And they looked at it and said, "Kurt, that's Coca-Cola. An airplane wrote that up there and it's gone now. That's what that is." Kurt wasn't educated. And so they said, "Kurt, well, what were you going to do if it was judgment?" He said, "I was just going to run till it overtook me." He said, "This thing's coming. And it's going to overtake you. You better be ready." You say, "Well, I don't believe in that." So what? There's a lot of people who don't believe the earth is round. Do you know websites? Do you know there are actually people out there that promote a flat earth theory? Do you know that? And they give all these reasons why the earth is... I'm thinking, all you got to do is go outside at night and look at the Big Dipper. Something's moving. Oh, they've staged that with mirrors and all this stuff so to make you think that. I'm thinking, what? Yes, there's a lot of people who have heard the gospel. That's what this is about. And they haven't done anything. He said, "You already know it. Boy, you better get ready because it's coming down." So that's in a nutshell. If the lights go out, we'll quit. Because that's what this is about, all right? I'm going to read this long part, even though I may cut it off shorter because we're not going to get that far. In Revelation chapter 6 is the next paragraph in this chapter. It says, "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel." This is very important. The eternal gospel. Your translation might just have the word proclamation or something else. It's translated best from the Greek New Testament as eternal gospel. It's already given to us in chapter 4 and 5, so it's not a question of what it is, but some people misinterpret that, and that's really what we're going to spend some time on this morning. "And he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth." He's not talking to angels. He's not talking to anybody else. He's talking to every nation, every tribe, every language, all of the earth, so everyone can hear it. "And he said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come.'" Time's up. This thing's over. You know, or you already know, what have you done? "So that you'll be ready because the judgment's here. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, the springs of water." And a second angel comes out and followed and said, "Fallen, fallen. Babylon the great is fallen. Babylon made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." And a third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink of what the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and forever." You know, it's strange. When I was finishing my last theological work, I was made to read a book. And things had changed a bit since I had delved into some of those things that deep. But one of the main books was "There Is No More Hell." From the theological perspective, it's amazing. All of the denominations in the world and the theologians have tried to explain away hell that it's not there anymore. It's gone. That was a little bit of a shock because it's only been in the last 15 years when this has developed to that level. "There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast." We'll deal with these issues in the next couple of weeks. We won't get that far today. But here's the issue, and we've been talking about this. Right now, at this moment, you and I either have Jesus' mark on us or the beast mark on us. You don't wait till the end of time in the tribulation when there actually is something else going on where it's a little bit specific than it is now. "Well, I'll wait." No. Already. Because if you die today, judgment is upon you. You either have the mark of Jesus because you trusted him or you have the mark of the beast. You already have it. That's why for us, it is absolutely imperative that we understand we must make sure this moment today that we're ready because judgment's going to come. whether I die today or I live 15 more years, it's still coming. And that's the very same thing that he's saying. And there will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, for anyone who receives the mark of that name. This calls for the patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keeps his commands. All right? And remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. That's a whole other theological issue. Because some people think, and again, I'm getting ahead of myself, we'll actually expound this a little bit more in detail in the next few weeks, because there's a lot in these verses. Because a lot of people think that, well, you know, I just want to go to hell where all my friends are. There are no friends in hell. Remember what Jesus said? It would be what? Gnashing of teeth. No one's going to be glad with anybody in hell, and they do not cease to exist. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to wait till the next few weeks. I'm going to skip these verses because they're not pertinent to what we're actually talking about today, and we need that time, all right? So that's exactly what we're going to see. Let's get to it now. This section is divided into two parts. The three angels that we just read, they're heralds. They proclaim. They're giving a message, as John always would have. When the angel showed him something new, that's exactly what it was. And then he ends it up with two metaphors about the harvest. Because when everything's ripe and it's time for harvest, you gather it all in. And we'll see that in the next 2 weeks, not today, all right? But both sections talk about the horribleness of the judgment that is coming. Now, as I said, too many denominations and some Baptists have tried to explain away the fact that God is going to judge us. He's going to judge me, not based on you or my wife or anybody else. He's going to judge me based on did I trust Jesus or did I not. Nobody's going to be there when I stand before Jesus. No one. But tarry. That's important. Because a lot of people try to ride on something somebody else in their family or church has done. That's not the way that works. The Bible dares to mention, and I mean, like I said, you won't hear Joel Osteen or Anley Stanley or none of those guys talking about judgment and the punishment of sin. God is love. He forgives everybody. When the Bible talks about it over 600 times. So if you know anything about the storyline of the Bible from Genesis 3 to the end of Revelation, what we see about this horrendous judgment in 14 is not a surprise. Well, this just popped up. Oh, no, it's been going on since Adam and Eve. I mean, it didn't just happen. And if you're not familiar with that, you say, well, why did this just come all of a sudden? It's been around a long, long time. And who talks about it more than anyone else? Jesus. Oh, Jesus never talks about hell. If you have a search any kind of way on your Bible or what they call the big books anymore, I don't use it. I use a computer. What is the big book? Concordance. How many times did I flip those pages? You know, it's about this thick. Didn't have anything else. Every word in the Bible is listed. You go at the back and you have a definition. Go in there and look how many times Jesus talks about hell more than anybody else by far in the whole Bible. And he's the one who talks about it. And he weeps over the city. And why is this? He knows they know, and they wouldn't repent. It's just like what this whole thing is saying. You've heard the gospel. How many people do you and I know? We know they know the gospel, but yet they haven't repented. And they don't realize judgment's coming. Well, I'll have time one day, so I'll do it then. You don't know that. I may never see some of you again. You may never see me again. So how do you know, if you don't do something about it now, how do you know you're going to have time later? That's what this whole thing's about. You better get this thing together now because judgment is coming. This is not an abstract concept. It is coming down. As he approached the city and he saw it, remember? And he wept over it because he knew they were not going to repent. That's sad, isn't it? Two or three guys, Mitchell and Cale Pressey, we were going around our neighborhood a long time ago trying to share the gospel and just reached out to people. And this guy, I knew he lived right down the road from us. And he turned out to be a Gideon. He was a Gideon. And I know he was an alcoholic, but I didn't know he was a Gideon until we were sitting there visiting with him. And I said, Ray, what about this? He said, we were sharing the gospel and the judgment. He said, oh, yeah, I know I'm going to hell. I said, what? Oh, yeah. You know, and then he said, you know, I'm a Gideon. I know all that stuff. I know I'm going to hell. Then what do you want to do about it? He said, I'm not going to do anything about it. That's what this is talking about. There's some people that absolutely know and don't realize the judgment is coming. You better get this thing together. That's what he's talking about. As far as I know, Ray never repented. He's dead now, been dead a long time, and he's faced the judgment, even though he knew. You know, it's not enough just to know. There's a lot of people who said, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Okay. The demons believe, right? But what happened to them? They were condemned. It's not enough, and that's what, let's go on to it, all right? I'm sorry. We're not evaluating an abstract notion of punishment and hell. We're talking about something that we're going to face, every one of us, unless we escape that by trusting in the sacrifice that Jesus made for us so that we wouldn't have to go through that. That's exactly what it means. He provided it for us. But unless we apply that, and I'm not talking about word games. I'm talking about your life. That's the horrible thing that's going on in contemporary Christianity today. You can talk a big game, but you can still live like a pagan and everything's all right. That's not what this says. That's what not Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what to my commandments? Keep them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a novel idea? That Jesus expects you to live differently? Boy, that's a novel idea. Ask someone who's Yahoo's about that one. For anybody who has followed the Bible storyline, you have to understand judgment didn't just start here. What happened in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve, with the devil? What happened? Thank you, Adam. That's why we're fighting pigweeds and why we're fighting Johnson grass and why we're fighting crabgrass. Any of y'all fight that in your garden? Thank Adam for that. That was part of the curse. So judgment started that way. It shouldn't be surprising to you what's going on in chapter 14. Why? Just look at a few things that went on in the Bible. The flood. What did he say? It grieves me that I made him. I'm going to wipe him off of the face of the earth. How early on was that in Genesis? Don't take very many generations for it to go down the tubes. How about the sacrificial system? All those dead animals and all that blood. Why? Because the remission of sin called for a blood sacrifice. You realize that? Judgment would come on the people. Remember the death angel, right? Unless the blood was applied to the door, whenever the judgment came, the death angel came, that was the judgment. The only way that it was appeased was if the blood was there. All that was going on, the cycles of decay in the judges, in the Old Testament, they would go crazy and God would judge them. They'd repent and he would judge them, and all back and forth, back and forth. Judgment didn't just start here in chapter 14. Go back and read through some of this and you will be reminded. All these crazy things that were going on. His own people were perverts. They were perverse. All the horrible things they did, and God judged them. You know, he did. And who is it that talks about condemnation? Jesus. Jesus does. And that's exactly what he does. He talks about it more than anyone else in the Bible. And also, whoa, Jesus is love. He didn't judge anybody. Then you're not reading the New Testament at all. So this should not be a surprise to us when we look at judgment in this chapter. In our culture, nobody wants to talk about it. You know, Christendom, by and large, has tried to push that under the rug and say, oh, Jesus loves us. He does. But he also has consequences when we don't follow his guidelines, and there's always judgment that's going to come in it. And that's exactly what this is. The category of righteous anger is not high in the United States. It's not high in the rest of the world, but it's surely not high here. Why? Because our virtues are in the tubes. Everything's okay now. Ain't that right? Everything's okay now. Now, the heralds, the angels. Let's go back quickly. In the first six, the angel comes to all humankind. He's not talking to angels. He's talking about people on the earth. That's what he's talking about. That's what it is. And he talks about this eternal gospel. What is that exactly? That, you know, there's all kind of crazy ideas about exactly what he's talking about here. There are mainly two views. I just surmise them down to two views, and this is what it is. One of them is this. It says that the eternal gospel in verse 6 is given its context in verse 7. So the eternal gospel is what the angel says in verse 7, which is not correct. The eternal gospel has been defined in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Look at this. Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. In this case, this is what this sounds like. The eternal gospel is some kind of generic idea, like, you know, you haven't heard of Jesus, but you know, you think there's a God up there, and you haven't repented, and you don't know anything about the truth of the gospel, but you just worship God and you're all right. That's what it sounds like. That's what it says. Oh, he made the heavens and earth. I believe that. I don't need a savior. I don't know if I don't know about a savior. So it's almost like they're saying, as long as you just recognize there's a God, then you're okay. No. That's what happened in chapter 4. That's not what happened in chapter 5. We're going to see John was pretty serious. Some sort of worship the God who has manifested himself in nature, as long as you just say, oh yeah, there's a God out there somewhere in some kind of form, and then you're all right. That's what it seems to indicate. Just the God of creation. No. That's not the way it is. That doesn't make any sense because of two reasons. Quickly. Number one, by the time this is written in the 90s, the gospel is clearly fixed on what that means. Whenever John's hearers are hearing this, they didn't have to worry. What is he talking about exactly? They knew exactly what the gospel was. It's been defined early on, and it's fixed already. And this is exactly what it is. It's the great news of what God has done in Christ's death and resurrection on behalf of us who desperately need someone to deliver us. Clearly. Go back and look at Peter's preaching and Acts and all that went on there. Earlier in the book, in two particular chapters, John really clears it up here. And I'm going to hurry on this part. Remember, he has a vision. Go back to chapter 4 and chapter 5. He has a vision, and this vision shows us absolutely what the gospel is. You know, God is seen as a transcendent God who is in his glory. He's coming down, and when these holy angels being seen, they can't even hold their head up. They bow down and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. By the way, where did I see that? Brandon Lake was talking about we have all these words that we shouldn't lose, like holy in the word in church. Did y'all see that article? I said, don't you use that word in your song quite a bit? Oh, yeah. So if you're not going to use the word holy in church, where can you use it? Hello? That's some of that same nonsense that came up 30 years ago. Oh, we can't talk about sin in the church. Well, where are you going to talk about it at? The church is not just for lost people. The church is for us as well. They lost it. You know, I don't know where the boy is. I don't know if he smoked something with his tattoos. I don't know what's going on. He has a couple good songs, but he says, oh, you shouldn't use these terms in church. Then where are you going to use them? There surely ain't nobody out on the street knows what it means. You see what I'm talking about? Anyway, it says they bowed down and said, no one can even look at him. Holy, holy, holy. It means kadosh, set apart. He's so much higher than we are, we can't even look on him. That's what's going on. That's what it means. And then a drama begins to unfold, because in the right hand of God, there's a seal that's rolled up, and it has everything to fulfill what God's going to do with the rest of mankind on earth. And unless the seal is opened, the things can't come to pass. Okay? It's not magic. It's just like God says, okay, this has to happen before the rest of what I'm going to do is going to happen. You know, God's idea is theological. It has a place it's going. It has an ending. It is moving. And that's exactly what's going on. It's sealed. And John sees this, what's going on. And it turns out to be everything that God wants to do to finish. And that's where the problem is. And it's set up on this vision. And it says the whole universe, who is worthy to do it? Who can open the seal? And the seals, who can open it so that God's plan can be finished? No one is found worthy. No angelic being, no man, no person is able to do this. And John sees that, and he weeps, because he knows unless somebody can open it, God cannot finish his plan for mankind. That's what it means. And that's exactly what happened. Unless somebody can do it and take the scroll and open it, everything is meaningless. Everything is finished. The church is a joke, and our salvation is no good. You see how important that is? And John weeps and he says, what are we going to do? And what happens is this. The angel comes to him and look what he says. Stop your crying, John. Wake up. Look, John, the lion, Jesus, of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. Only he can open the scroll. That is the eternal gospel right there. And he knows it. Nobody else. The gospel is what God has ordained through his son. That's why you can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it. The lion lamb to pay the price for our sin, to take on the effects of the curse, to release us so that God's plan can be fulfilled and finished. Therefore, we have meaning in our life now. We have a place in eternity afterwards because of that, to gather and transform men and women from all over the earth. That is the eternal gospel. It was set in chapter 4. You don't need to wait for chapter 6 and 7 and verse 6 and 7 to define it, or you'll get it messed up, just like a lot of people have. All you got to do is just worship God. You don't have to worry about Jesus. You don't even have to know about Jesus. You need to read some of the theological crazies out there now who's supposed to know something. Did say, oh, that's irrelevant. We don't need Jesus. We don't need the Old Testament either, right, according to Stanley. So in Revelation, the connection between these things, you have to look at it a different way. The eternal gospel has already been shared. And it's like he says, you already know this. You better do something with it. Because it's coming. Judgment is coming. It is not that it gives us the content of the gospel. It's already been defined. John just saw it there when in chapter 4 and 5. The meaning is determined absolutely by the context. It is not a different gospel. No. But it carries this one thing. The dire consequences if it is rejected. I know people that know the gospel. They're going to die and go to hell. Why? Because they never trusted Jesus. They don't really need it, but they know the gospel. The dire consequences if it is rejected. That's why Jesus said. That's why he wept over Jerusalem. I'm right here to help you, and you won't listen. So you're going to die. That's what it is. He underscored it in a Romans in those places. Connection is this. It runs like this. Granted that the gospel is here. It's here in chapter 4 and 5. It's here in Acts whenever Jesus dies and is risen again. That is being proclaimed everywhere to every tribe and every tongue and every nation. The angel says it's already been done. Granted that the sole means by which God's purpose for salvation has come to pass in judgment to give God the glory. Granted those things have already there. Because the hour is now. Judgment is upon us. Worship him. It just simply is this. You better do something. Because it's coming. And you know, I don't know. I just know the moment I die, it's over. Whatever I've done with Jesus, it's over. I don't have another chance. There's not, I can't even remember what it is. Now, what is it? A Catholic's place for second chances? Purgatory. There's not a Baptist purgatory. Go prove that one for me, all right? Theologically, prove that one for me. Anyway, if you're a Catholic and I'm making you mad, I'm sorry. It's just theologically, you can't define it from the Bible, all right? That's all I'm saying. When it's over, it's over. You know, either Jesus takes my judgment or I take my judgment. So when I die, that's why he said, it's coming. It's coming. How soon? It does not give us the content of the gospel, but this. But the motive to respond, because judgment is next. Do we understand that? We don't hear it very much. Churches don't talk about judgment. They don't talk about sin. Oh, it's God is love, and that God is love. And if it wasn't for love, we would be condemned in our sin for forever. But what you know, how are you responding? And you know, I'm not talking about this lip stuff. There's a lot of people that talk a big game and then live like pagans. Jesus said, no, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will live. That's it. Oh, well, Jesus just forgives everybody and it's okay. That's not what this is. That's not what the gospel is. No. People everywhere are called to respond in worship. You know these things. Boy, you better do something. Why? Because it's coming. You know it's coming. The hour of the judgment has come. Well, I don't believe a God is a God of judge. Well, you better go back and read your Bible. Start in Genesis. I just went back there for a second. You don't think God's not a judge? What did he do to Adam and Eve? He said, you don't belong in here anymore. Go out there and suffer now because of your sin. Did he forgive them? Yeah. But the consequences come. The description further confirms that these are unregenerate multitudes. He says, they know it. They're never going to repent. That's why you have it in when we get there in Revelation later. It says, when all this is over, the single book of life was opened. And then at the great white throne judgment, the books were opened. It says in the Old Testament, only a fraction are going to be saved. I wonder in here. The number of people here, how many of us are really born again are going to trust him? I mean, that's not my call. But how many of us are playing a game and you voice some kind of thing, but you're living like hell and maybe nobody knows about it, but Jesus does. I mean, really, how many of us are truly converted? That's the issue. You know, Billy Graham used to say 75% of the church people were not saved. So if there's 100 in here, 75 of us are not going to make it. Well, he don't know. Well, he'd been around long enough to know. People talk all kind of big stuff. They just don't live it out. And what happens is we listen to somebody who's a Yahoo nutcase. Oh, Jesus, he just wants you to be happy. You can just confess it with your mouth, and then that's all you have to do, and you don't have to live it out. No. I've been in a quite of a theological discussion. I don't know if any of you saw what was going on at Truett McConnell this past couple weeks. It's sad. I don't know what the outcome's going to be yet, but some stuff went on there and some of the leadership. But I was talking with one of the guys, and it's unfortunate. I don't know if any of you have a reform background. If you don't know what that means, don't look it up, okay? It's basically Presbyterians and some other people that are reformed, where it's almost taken over in the sense that it's okay to be a drinker. You know, it's okay. And this actual guy who'd raised all of his kids said, nah, you don't really need that. And that now they've taken on and follow the rest of the world. And if they're not careful, they'll be alcoholics. Why? Because I had some of them tell me 20 years ago, oh, now this is their concept. These leaders then, now I'm not saying this is all reformed, okay? He told me, oh, it's okay for us to drink and smoke, but the people out there in the church can't. I said, whoa, that don't sound right. But now we have a lot of Baptists who are trying to buy in that Reformed theology to make sure it's okay if they drink. I'll just tell you, I don't really see any purpose in it. If Jesus can't suffice what you need in it, that you got to have alcohol, you need to get with him. I'm not saying you couldn't use it for a medicine. They use it. I've never seen anything positive come from alcohol. And I lived around it for 40 years. Nothing positive. Always cost. Always heartache. So, anyway. Now, what got me off on that, I'm not sure. But as long as I make you feel guilty, it's all right. If you drink, will you go to hell? I didn't say that. I didn't say that, did I? But what does Matthew say that Jesus said? A drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you start drinking and there's a possibility you could come a drunk, why would you want to start? If it could keep you out of the kingdom of God. I'm not going to elaborate on that anymore. That's between you and Jesus. But you need to think about it, you know. Because I grew up, this is one of those changes. But when I was a teenager 40 years ago, everybody around us thought a Christian should not be drinking, period. And now it's creeping in everywhere. Oh, yeah, that's just okay if I social drink. Really? Anyway, this is not about drinking. I don't even know what got me off on that. What got me off on that? I don't know. The same universal formula for humanity has been used since chapter 10. And all the world who are idolaters. And that's exactly what he's talking about. You know, when we worship, you know what idolatry is? I want what I want. I've become my own God. That's idolatry. That's what Eve did. She wanted what she wanted, and she led Adam, and he made a choice. He's guilty as she is. I'm not alleviating that from him. He's number one in trouble because he absolutely knew. God told him first. But that's exactly what it is. And this angel comes in, and he says, the downfall that paganism has caused is going to cause a lot of people to face this judgment. I'll give you a quick synopsis of this. I believe in just some stuff we've observed since COVID. A big contributor to this gender crazy nutcase stuff is because of paganism influence from the internet. Have we always had paganism? Yes, always. But it gets to a level where it has so much of effect on what everyone does that it causes more and more. And that's exactly what he's talking about, how it causes the Babylon has fallen and its adulteries, which is idolatry, has caused all the people to go along with it. Absolutely. Where did, you know, if you hadn't had Google and you hadn't had the internet, do you think we'd have had as much of this gender crazy stuff as we have? I don't think so. Because some of the people we talked to, guess where they got their ideas from? Off that internet. Do you think there's never a child before kind of mixed up about their feelings? You know, my brother used to play with dolls for years. He wasn't gay or he wasn't whatever else. Just because you, well, you know, I don't feel that way today, so let's go talk you into having a sex change and become something else. Where you get that from? Yahoos out there that are crazy. That's what this means. Paganism has influenced everything, so you must be careful, especially if you're going into a university. Wowzers. Hey, how many of you have had that eye-opening experience this last semester? You knew paganism was there, but you didn't know how extreme the influence was on it to cause people to think a different way than they used to. I mean, just a few years ago, the people that are around would have never thought some of the things they're doing now was okay. You see what I mean? How it affects? You know, anyway, we got to quit. You know what? I'm glad that Jesus loves us. I'm glad he died on the cross, and he's provided a way that we can escape this final judgment that is coming. But you got to do it. Because as long as you're alive, you have a chance. When you're dead, it's gone. You know, it's over then. Jesus loves me. This I know. Because the Bible, not Enley Stanley, tells me so. He's provided an escape if we're trusting. But you better get your mess together. Because you don't know when the end's coming for you. Or me. But thank the Lord that he loves us. Eh? Let's pray. Lord, it's just beyond our understanding why you would die for us. On our best days, we don't deserve anything. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you provided a way. But thank you that you're a just God and you're going to punish unrighteousness. You're going to punish the people. And it's only right. If you didn't, you would not be just. But thank you in your love. You have provided an escape if we will accept it. Help us all evaluate where we are. Quit playing some kind of game. And trust and understand what you desire from us. So that you'll be glorified. And that we can be a blessing to the other people on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.